We are, of course, continuing our good study on the New Testament church, and Lord willing, we will finish up lesson 30 tonight. We talked about already last week the spirit of the worship. We covered part this second subpoint, and we got to, if I'm correct, number 3. Is that right? We stopped after this second part. So after talking about scriptural worship, the fact that we worship on the Lord's Day, the Sabbath day was a day that was given to the Old Testament Jews. And this side of the cross, we assemble together on the first day of the week to worship God in spirit and in truth. And so that was dealt with in our first point. Then our second point, the fact that it must be done in spirit and in truth. And that gets us to point number 3, the items of worship according to the New Testament plan. If I were to ask you how many items of worship are there, doesn't matter to me if you call them items or articles or paths, or I've heard it called different things, but how many items of our worship are there, our worship to God? Good job. 5 items, right? 5 channels, or however you want to phrase that. Someone made the observation that he only covers 4 of these in this third point. I don't know why that's the case. I don't know if that's because lessons 31 and 32 are devoted to scriptural teaching. But certainly we're going to include the 5th one that was not included in this third point. Well, I guess all through this lesson we could be asking the question, does it matter? And we have asked that question. Does it matter as to the name that the church wears? Does it matter as to how one obeys in becoming a Christian? Does it matter as to what the church, how the church is organized? Does it matter as to how the church worships? How would you respond to that? Sure, absolutely. It does matter. In the Bible we learn that authority is of 2 places. It's either of what? Of men or God. It's either from heaven or of men. Remember, Jesus was asked a question, by whose authority do you do these things? It's either of heaven or of men. And the only way that we're going to know what is of heaven is if we open up the book which came from God and study from it. And so it does matter as to what we do when we come together. It'd be an interesting study as to what constitutes worship. Have you ever thought about that? Is everything we do in this life worship? What is worship? Okay.
I don't believe it's called worship all the time. So if you got to worship all the time, I mean, don't get me wrong, but you can't worship. You can pray, have God, think about God, but you can't do it all the time. You can't think one thing all the time.
Okay. What does the word worship mean? What idea is behind that?
Paying homage
to something or someone, and our homage, our worship, is to be paid to God. John 4:24 and Revelation 19 and other passages talk about that very thing. But no, that won't work, that everything we do in life is worship. That just will not work. The Bible doesn't teach that. And so we're talking about what constitutes or what is included in our worship. The first subpoint to this, items of worship according to the New Testament plan, because remember we've been talking about Hebrews 13, see thou make it according to the pattern or the plan. The Lord's Supper on the first day, they met to observe it. Acts chapter 20 verse 7. I'd encourage you. You know how we try to commit to memory at least one passage as to how one becomes a Christian, each of those steps. I encourage you to have at least one passage that you can go to in your mind and easily flip to in your Bible relative to how we worship God. We understand this to be on the first day of the week. We've already talked about that. In Acts 20, verse 7, the Bible says what? Yeah, so do we have authority to come together on the Lord's Day to do that very thing? Well, sure we do. There's an example of when the disciples came together to do that. And we received instructions from Christ through Paul to do so. 1 Corinthians 11, 23 through 26, which is so often and rightly so read before we observe the Lord's Supper. For I have received what?
Of the Lord.
That which also I deliver unto you. And then he talks to them about the Lord's Supper. Let's see in Colossians chapter 3 and Ephesians chapter 5. And how many other New Testament passages talk about singing? We just had a sermon on that Sunday before last, and then I mentioned that point again in last Sunday's sermon. How many passages in the New Testament? Remember that chart, sing or play? There's 10 passages in the New Testament. Ephesians 5 and Colossians 3 are just two of them. There's 8 others, and not a one of them mentions the use of instruments or mechanical instruments of music, if you want to call it or phrase it that way. It's the only music provided in New Testament worship, according to the plan. If God had desired for us to do that, then would it have not been included in the plan, right? In the pattern. And so you find no example, no forced conclusion or necessary inference, or no direct statement or direct command that says that the disciples ever used instruments of music other than the harp. And so that excludes us doing that, as God has specified that He wants us to sing. It's pretty simple. You agree? Prayer. Acts 2:42. What's that verse about? Here they had obeyed the gospel, and nearly 3,000 people had obeyed the gospel of Christ, or about. Yeah. They stood steadfast in some things. Like that passage in 1 Corinthians 15:58, be therefore steadfast. Well, here's an example of them being steadfast. And what were they steadfast in?
Teaching.
Okay, the apostles' doctrine or teaching.
Fellowship.
Breaking of bread. And in prayers. And by the way, all of those are of a spiritual nature. I put a passage on the board, as I couldn't find it during the lesson last week, as to when the church was together praying. Remember what that passage was? Good job. Acts 12 and then verse 5. And there's a lot of examples of prayer in the Bible in general, but in the New Testament there's many examples of prayer. 1 Timothy 2:1, I exhort therefore, first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men. And so, have you ever wondered, you know, what ought I to include in my prayer? Well, 1 Timothy 2:1 and 2 is a good passage to remember. Then in verse 8, I will therefore that men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands without wrath and doubt. And that's not the charismatic lifting up of hands. That it's an expression in the Bible of having a holy lifestyle. That your life is to match what you practice. Then in fellowship, laying by in store. And again, the word fellowship means
something to share.
Joint participation. Now remember that Acts 2:42 passage talks about in fellowship. Fellowship laying by in store according to prosperity. 1 Corinthians 16 1 and 2 and Acts 2:42. And there's just a handful, really, of passages in the New Testament that talk about examples of the disciples given and what that was for. I remember putting together a chart similar to that sing and play on saint or sinner. I think I might have shared that with some of you, but you just go through those passages in the New Testament and ask you, was there ever a recipient that was a sinner that received of those funds, and what answer do you come up with? No, it was saints gave and saints received. Now, on an individual basis, I can help those that I have opportunity to help. Galatians 6:10. But from the Lord's treasury, we see that it's limited in the scope of what we can use it for and to whom can receive it. Well, there's four of them. But again, there's one that's not discussed. And again, I don't know why. It could have been that he just left it out. In our next lesson, there's mistakes on references, and I can relate to that. I put stuff together, and there's mistakes in spite of how many times you proofread it. But nonetheless, there is a fifth item that we include in our worship, which is teaching, preaching the Word of God. Well, now, where do you get the basis for that? Does the Bible ever say the church is to include preaching in the worship? Well, you could. Yeah. And that's exactly right. Hang on to that. Someone said, well, Matthew 28. Well, is Matthew 28 talking about worship? No. Mark 16. Go on to all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. Is that talking about worship specifically? No. But several of you said that Paul did it. And where did Paul do that at? Acts 20 and then verse 7. Here it was the Lord's day. The disciples come together to break bread. And Paul preached. Well, that's how we edify, by the way. What edifies individuals is the Word of God. I know that's the case because the Bible says so in Acts 20 and then verse 32. And now, brethren, I commend you unto God and to the Word of His grace, which is able to build you up and give you an inheritance among all them that are sanctified. But yes, that's authorized and that's included in New Testament worship. Any other thoughts about that? Five items of New Testament worship. The very thing that we get together on Sunday and do is what the Lord's church has done since it began in Acts chapter 2 in the first century. Right? And we'll continue to do the same thing. There's a lot of change agents in the world who say, listen, we need to modernize it, we need to update it, we need to do other things, and it just doesn't work with our young people. I beg to differ. It's worked. It's God's plan. And we're going to do God's work, right? Do things God's way. So we'll continue to do that, knowing that we've got divine authority for that. Your last point on this is the fact that they continue steadfastly in this worship, Acts 2 and then verse 42. And we're going to continue steadfastly, right? Now, I don't say that as a command, that you're going to continue steadfastly because I said so. But I say that because I believe we're all on the same page that we want to continue steadfastly in what the Bible teaches. We're admonished not to neglect the assembling of ourselves together, Hebrews 10:25. When the church comes together, where do I need to be? In the midst of the assembly, right? Hebrews 12:15. And we know there's extenuating circumstances to that. We're not to neglect that. Conclusion, corruption of this plan of worship by changing the day, the spirit, in spirit and in truth, the right attitude, the right of worship furnished by Scriptures means the destruction of the identity of the church as the church of God. Now, folks, the reality is that there are many churches of Christ who, though they call themselves churches of Christ, are not worshiping according to the New Testament pattern. They've either taken away or they've added. And as a result of that, they're no longer identified by the Lord as His people. And the same can happen with us and will happen with us if we don't hold fast the pattern of sound words. Thoughts or questions before we get to the questions? It's important. It matters as to what we do. What is the leading day of the New Testament? First day of the week. Why was the Sabbath given and how long did it continue? I understand there's a couple of answers or responses that you could give to the first part of that. But your book covers one reason, and that is what? Good. Did anyone put any other response to that down? That's what your book talks about.
Also a day of rest.
Okay. A day of they were to rest. There were no servile work that was to be done. They had restrictions on it. Here's a passage that came to mind. Exodus 16 and in verse 4. Let's back up to verse 1. Exodus 16:1. They took their journey from Elim, and all the congregation of the children of Israel came into the wilderness of Sin, which is between Elim and Sinai, on the 15th day of the second month after their departing out of the land of Egypt. And the whole congregation of the children of Israel murmured against Moses and Aaron in the wilderness. And the children of Israel said unto them, Would to God we had died by the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt, when we sat by the flesh pots, and when we did eat bread to the full, for ye have brought us forth into this wilderness to kill this whole assembly with hunger. Then said the Lord unto Moses, Behold, I will rain bread from heaven for you, and the people shall go out and gather a certain rate every day. Now watch this next phrase. That I may prove or test them, whether they will walk in my law or no. And it shall come to pass that on the sixth day they shall prepare that which they bring in, and it shall be twice as much as they gather daily. That's before Exodus chapter 20, by the way. I'm going to prove whether they'll walk in my law or not. Here's what you're going to do for 6 days. On the sixth day you're going to gather up twice as much, because on the seventh day you're not to do that. And how long did it continue? Till the church was established. What did you say, Rose?
To the death of Christ.
Yeah, to the death of Christ is when He nailed the Old Testament law to the cross. Took it out of the way. And did that include the Ten Commandments? Sure it did. Well, you're saying then that we're not to honor our mother or father, that we're now permitted to commit adultery. No, I didn't say that. But I honor my father and mother because Paul, through inspiration of the Holy Spirit, said that in the law of Christ, Ephesians chapter 6. Not because Moses penned it, but because Paul said it this side of the cross. It was revealed to him. And we don't commit adultery because the rule on marriage has been since the beginning, Matthew chapter 19, and it'll always be the same. Name some outstanding events of the Lord's Day.
Resurrection.
The resurrection.
Church was established.
The day of Pentecost.
Jesus met with the disciples.
Yeah, he met with the disciples on two separate occasions on the first day of the week. First time Thomas wasn't there, second time Thomas was. And? Okay, Acts 2, the day of Pentecost, all the apostles received the Holy Spirit.
The
first gospel sermon preached. Breaking of New Testament worship, right? What is, or how must God be worshipped? Spirit and truth. What is always to be present in every act of worship? The Bible heart. Huh? Their lips profess, confess me, but their heart is far from me. Their lips do honor me. Name the items of church worship. Breaking of bread, preaching, singing, praying, giving. Good. What was said of the first church, Acts 2:42? Continued steadfastly in the apostles' teaching and so on. How may the worship be corrupted? By changing the pattern, right? Changing the plan. By the way, we didn't just come together and say, you know what, let's come up with how we're going to worship. Do we do that more? Blame, we didn't do that, did we? We do it this way because God said to do it this way. His Word teaches it. What if the Sabbath day is observed?
It's corrupt.
It's corrupted.
Changes the plan.
Changes the plan. Okay. Well, I wasn't given to me, right? Or you?
Good.
Well, that's right. Completely undermines and disregards the authority given to Christ among the things that you've talked about. What if the worship is characterized by will worship? Colossians chapter 3 talks about will worship. What if we were just to do it according to our will or our desire?
Yeah.
That's right. I told you Colossians 3, it's Colossians 2, and then verse 23. Right. Any questions about that? We probably will not get through lesson 31 tonight on scriptural teaching, but that's okay. We'll gain ground, Lord willing, down the line and get caught up. Someone read for us, if you will. This begins on page 84, lesson 31, which deals with scriptural teaching. Again, there's lesson 31 and lesson 32 in this part of our study devoted to teaching. Someone read for us the introduction.
Maintain its identity with the church established by Christ, controlled by His authority, described in the New Testament, the church today must be scriptural in its teaching.
That's what this entire section has been about, the identity of the New Testament church. Folks, if you knew nothing about religious bodies, if you knew nothing about the church or churches, any concept of that. And then you read in the Bible one day that there is but one church and that the Lord added those who are being saved to that one body. And you set out to identify the church of which you know the Bible talks about. You read about the church and you want to find out of all the religious bodies the church that you read about in the Bible. Do you think it's possible to be able to identify that true church? Well, okay, if it is then, and suppose you're going down the line and you find a religious body that is not worshiping according to how we just studied, would you say you'd located the Lord's church? Well, of course not. Remember that lesson I did? Well, you may not. It's been a few years now, three, maybe the first year that I was here, on identifying the New Testament church. Any of you remember that? We talked about marks of identity. I put the little milk carton up there. Have you seen me? And had Ethan's picture on it. He's grown since then. Remember that? You know, if a missing child, if a child goes missing and you report that child as missing, if Ethan, suppose, was gone and we couldn't find him, and we report that he's missing, and I give some descriptions about him. He has red hair. He has brown eyes. and he's about 5 foot or so. I gave those descriptions of him, and you were out looking around, and here was a little Asian girl with hair down about middle ways in her back. Would you call me and say, "Donnie, we found Ethan"? Why won't you do that, Marilyn? Yeah, she's not a boy. My son is missing, not a girl. Doesn't have long hair. Has red. You see the point in that? So you can identify the Lord's church by looking at these characteristics that we've been talking about. If a religious body is not worshiping according to Spirit and truth, I should say in truth, we know Spirit and truth is vital, but to this point, in truth, according to the way that the Bible says, we can't rightfully say that we've found the Lord's church. If a religious body teaches people they become a Christian by doing other than what the Bible says one must do to become a Christian, you can't say you found the Lord's body. If the work of the church is not what you find in the New Testament, you cannot say that you're attending or that you found or whatever the Lord's church. You agree with that? We've got to understand that. If we do not understand that concept, we will lose our way and lose our identity with the Lord. Because what will happen is we'll just blend right in with all the religious bodies around us on the basis of it really doesn't matter anyway, and forget about what sets God's people apart. I tell you, the church is peculiar. The church is distinct. The church is different from any other church. Reason being, it came from heaven and not of men. That's also true regarding the teaching. There's restrictions as to what may be taught. And he lists several restrictions as to how people have been restricted. He gives 4 examples of that. And we'll go through all this, but he gives the fact that Jesus was restricted on what he taught. The Holy Spirit was restricted on what He taught. The apostles were restricted on what they taught. And the church is to be restricted and was and is today to be restricted and limited as to what we teach. Each one of these categories did not teach something that originated with them. And gives you the references for those. And again, you might want to try to commit to memory the best you can some of these passages. Highlight them in your Bible. Make you a good note to show folks that the word that we are to be teaching today is to be have its origination with God. I gave you that chart at least a couple of times now on the chain of Revelation. If you didn't get that, you can let me know and I'll give that to you again. It looks like we're going to have time to finish this one point, and we'll have to pick up here next week. But it's important for us to drill this over and over. Christ was limited in His teaching to the words that He received from His Father. If you can remember John chapter 8 and John chapter 17, you'll have you a good little handful of references that you can go to show that Jesus was limited in His teaching. But someone says, now wait a minute, Jesus was the Word, so how was He limited then in what He taught?
He can only teach what God has told Him to teach.
It's a simple answer. And Jesus gives us that answer. Yes, He was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. Has been since the beginning. And then He took on flesh. But in John chapter 8, at least these 3 times, He talks about the fact that what He taught did not come from Himself, but from the Father. Let's read these, and if someone will get their eyes on 26 and 28 and then 38, we can read through them smoothly. Someone read for us the first one, John 8, 26.
And I speak to the world those things which I have heard of Him.
Well, If he was speaking to the world those things which I heard of him, who is that of him in reference to? How do you know it's the Father? We'll just look back up a little bit in the same verse. But he that sent me is true. Who sent Jesus? Father. And that's who he's talking about. I speak the things to the world that I've heard. If you drop down to verse 28.
So Jesus said, when you lift up the Son of Man, then you will know that I am he. And I do nothing on my own initiative, but I speak these things as the Father taught me.
In other words, listen, it didn't just originate with me. I'm not out here just speaking my own volition's probably not the right word, but it didn't originate with me. But what the Father has given me, what He has taught me, that's what I'm speaking. Then in verse 38.
I speak what I have seen with my Father.
And then contrast His Father with their Father, right? And then in chapter 17, verse 8, which we understand this is a prayer of the Lord. He's talking to God, the Father. And notice what he says, verse 8.
For I have given to them the words which you have given me, and they have received them and have known surely that I came forth from you. And they have believed that you sent me.
Yeah. I've gave them the word that you gave to me. Now, who's he talking about? I gave them. The apostles. Now, later in verse 20 and 21, again, he's going to pray for everybody, but here he's talking about the apostles. So he gave them the word that he got where?
From the Father.
So was Jesus restricted as to what he taught? Sure he was. And he was restricted to what the Father had given to him. Well, the Holy Spirit did not speak from Himself. And listen, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, all three of them are referred to as God in the New Testament. All three of them. The word God just means divine. That they share in these qualities of deity. They're eternal. And that's said of all three of them. But the Holy Spirit didn't even speak of Himself. Someone read that passage to us, John 16:18.
I couldn't find it in that passage. I had to go to 14:26.
It should be
verse 13.
Yeah, it is verse 13. I made that correction in my book as well, but not on the screen. Thank you. And so you said 15 and 14:26.
Yeah.
And both all three of these chapters talk about the sending of the Holy Spirit. But this passage, John 16:13, what does it say?
However, when He, the Spirit of truth, has come, He will guide you into all truth. For He will not speak on His own authority. But whatever He hears, He will speak, and He will tell you things to come.
Not of His own authority, but what's been given to Him. Acts 1, 1 and 2 is another good passage. We don't have time to look at that. You can jot down Acts 1, 1 and 2. And so the apostles spoke only that which had been revealed to them. 2 Peter 1, 16 through 21. Peter talks about being with Him in the Holy Mount of Transfiguration. You find in Matthew 17. Hear ye Him, Matthew 17, 5. And Peter then talks about that in 2 Peter chapter 1. Galatians 1, 6 through 12. Paul talks about that. I have not received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. And he tells him, if anyone preach unto you any other gospel than that which we preached unto you, or even if an angel come down from heaven and preach to you some other gospel, let him be accursed. So the apostles spoke only that which had been revealed to them. We're going to stop right there because we'll pick it up here next week and again look at some other references as to the apostles being limited and then how the church today must also be limited. I appreciate your good attention.